Malachi chapter 1. And Father, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Malachi chapter 1 verse 1. An oracle, the word of the Lord to Israel through Malachi. And so the Lord God Almighty sent this message to Israel through his servant Malachi. And it says in verse 2, this is God speaking, I have loved you, says the Lord. But you ask, how have you loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother? The Lord says, yet I have loved Jacob. The people were discouraged. And so God begins his message by telling them that he loves them. And it says in verse 3, but Esau, well, let's read the last part of verse 2. Was not Esau Jacob's brother? The Lord says, yet I have loved Jacob. But Esau I have hated, and I have turned his mountains into a wasteland and left his inheritance to the desert jackals. A little bit of a history lesson here, biblical history. Jacob and Esau were brothers way back. Jacob's 12 boys started the 12 tribes that became Israel. When God says that he loved Jacob but hated Esau, it means that God chose Jacob to be in his plan to redeem man from their sin, but he did not choose Esau. And Jesus was later born into the family line of Jacob, or the family line of Israel, as his name was changed to. And of course, Jesus died on the cross and paid for man's sins, which benefits the line of Jacob and the line of Esau and everyone else as well. But God chose Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel, and their offspring, the Israelites, God chose them to be his special people through whom the Messiah would come. And that's what it means when it says that God loved Jacob but hated Esau. He didn't hate Esau's guts or anything like that. And it says in verse 4, Edom may say, though we have been crushed, we will rebuild the ruins. But this is what the Lord Almighty says, they may rebuild, but I will demolish. It will be called the wicked land, a people always under the wrath of the Lord. Edom, the nation Edom, mentioned here in verse 4, were actually the descendants of Esau. And they were not very nice. They were ungodly. They thought they could live and prosper independent of God without God's blessing. But God says here, no, it's not going to work, Edom. You can try, but I'm going to make you fail. 5. You will see it with your own eyes and say, great is the Lord, even beyond the borders of Israel. And so when Israel sees what God will do to the ungodly nation Edom, her longtime enemy, then Israel will know for sure that God sovereignly rules over all nations. 6. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If I am a father, where is the honor due me? If I am a master, where is the respect due me, says the Lord Almighty? It is you, O priest, who show contempt for my name, but you ask, how have we shown contempt for your name? It's like the Israelites, they're either plain stupid or they really don't know all these bad things they're doing to God. But according to God, and you can believe him, the priests in Israel who were there to serve the Lord didn't even respect the Lord. They showed contempt for God. And here's how, verse 7, you placed defiled food on my altar. But you ask, how have we placed defiled food, or how have we defiled you? By saying that the Lord's table is contemptible. The altar in the Jewish religion of the Old Testament was a special table where the priests were to offer animals to God. And these animals, they were to be the right species, and they were to also be without any physical defect. Well, look at verse 8. God says, when you bring blind animals for sacrifice, is that not wrong? When you sacrifice crippled or diseased animals, is that not wrong? Try offering them to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you, says the Lord Almighty? You know, how many people who claim to serve God actually treat people better than they do God. Well, that's what the Israelite priests were doing. They would never do the things that they did to God to their political leaders. The sacrifices offered to God were supposed to be perfect, not blind or lame or diseased. See, those animal sacrifices, it's not that God wanted the meat or needed to see something like that, you know, slaughtered for the fun of it. The animal sacrifices were foreshadows of Jesus Christ. That's why they had to be physically perfect. Jesus was perfect and without sin. Jesus died for our sins. If the priests were offering defective animals, well, they were destroying the type. They were destroying the type of Christ. And that's what upset God, in addition to the fact that their attitude was just all wrong. 9. Now implore God to be gracious to us with such offerings from your hands. Will he accept you? Says the Lord Almighty. God wouldn't accept the defective sacrifices and the priest sin by offering them. They showed their contempt for God by offering those things. Consequently, God says, you better pray that I'll be gracious to you. In other words, you better be praying that I'm going to be more kind to you than I should be, or than I need to be. Verse 10, oh, that one of you would shut the temple doors, so that you would not light useless fires on my altar. I'm not pleased with you, says the Lord Almighty, and I will accept no offering from your hands. It was useless to burn animals that were not perfect. God was saying, you might as well just lock the doors to the holy temple if you're going to do things like that. If you're not going to do things the right way, then just shut this place down. Don't go through the religious motions if your heart's not in it. 11. My name will be great among the nations, from the rising to the setting of the sun. In every place, incense and pure offerings will be brought to my name, because my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord Almighty. The Catholic Church interprets this, the incense which they use in their daily mass and in their weekly masses, and the pure offerings which they say is the body and blood, the Lord Jesus Christ, the reenactment, the representation of Calvary on the altar that takes place every single time there is a mass set. They say that this scripture here is a prophecy that is fulfilled in the Catholic Mass. Well, one thing is for sure. This does look forward to the church age, when the body and blood of Jesus Christ will be offered to the Father, and when his children worship him from their heart, from all over the world. 12. But you profane it by saying of the Lord's table, it is defiled, and of its food, it is contemptible. And so, in contrast to the pure worship of Christians who are in right standing with God, the priests in Malachi's time were not devoted to God at all in their worship. They were simply going through the motions, something that God despises. He cannot stand outward religious form if a person's heart is not in it. 13. And you say, what a burden! And you sniff at it contemptuously, says the Lord Almighty. When you bring injured, crippled, or diseased animals and offer them as sacrifices, should I accept them from your hands? The priests regarded their service to God at the altar to be a pain in the neck, a real burden. They didn't like serving the Lord. Not only did they not like serving the Lord, they made sure that everybody knew that they didn't like serving the Lord. They made sure that everybody could see that it was a burden. They were really disgracing the Lord God Almighty, and in a public way. No wonder he's upset. And he says in verse 14, cursed is the cheat who has an acceptable male in his flock and vows to give it, but then sacrifices a blemished animal to the Lord. For I am a great king, says the Lord Almighty, and my name is to be feared among the nations. And so people were making deals with God. God, if you answer this prayer, I'll offer you this fine animal of mine. And so God would graciously answer, and they would offer some pathetic animal that was going to have to be put to sleep soon anyway, put out of its misery, That's the kind of sacrifice they offer to God. God said, you cheated. You cheated me. And as a result, he says, you're cursed. In other words, something bad is going to happen to you. You know, the Bible says that God will not be mocked. We'll pick it up in chapter 2 of Malachi next time. Until then, so long, everyone.